Now, as much as I enjoy performing and being out in public, every once in a while I encounter someone who makes me feel uncomfortable. When I'm speaking with them, it's that unmistakable awkwardness of being just a little too close. Have you ever had a similar experience? It's that very phenomenon that was the critical plot driver in the infamous Seinfeld episode known as The Close Talker. Now, if you've ever had a close talker experience, then I'd like to introduce you or reintroduce you to the magical field of spatial relationships, aptly called proxemics. You see, culturally, as we navigate the public realm, each of us has our own individual space, a personal bubble of sorts. Now, the size of the bubble varies from person to person, culture to culture, and from situation to situation. For instance, the average American likes to keep his bubble around 18 inches, I've measured. But other cultures and individuals are often conditioned to maintain less, where even a few inches can make a huge difference in the success of a meeting. But does this also apply to the interactions on a trade show floor? Abso-close-talking-lutely. And this is why, in today's episode, we welcome sociology professors and retail managers alike to discuss proxemics, from applications to points of concerns that designers, sales teams, and marketers should all be mindful of. Hello, and welcome to Echelon's 12 for 12, a series of 12-minute podcasts created to inform, entertain, and hopefully inspire creative individuals. As always, this podcast is produced and sponsored by Echelon Design, a world-class team of very cool creatives dedicated to helping organizations build tangible brands, especially in the exhibit industry. And my name is Adam Voss. I'm a comedian, professional MC, and fellow marketing and design geek, and I will be your host for the next 12 minutes. You've now heard the term, but where did proxemics come from? To delve deeper into the history and the modern-day application of the theory, we must first start with the academic realm of social science in which it was born. Anthropologist Edward T. Hall coined the term proxemics back in 1963. His pioneering book, The Hidden Dimension, outlined the habits of animals and humans alike and directly accounted for changes in their lifestyle and interactions with other creatures based on distance to one another. So, true to life in the wild, getting too close can have unexpected consequences. Our next guest today is Professor Natalie Warren from the Illinois Institute of Art in Schaumburg, Illinois. With a special focus on social psychology, she underscores that personal space factors as a very critical element in teaching design. Also joining us is Reggie Townsend. Reggie is a senior executive VP at Knowledge Advantage, a firm that focuses on sales and marketing strategy and execution. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So I want to first direct a question to you, Professor Warren. First, thanks for joining us today. Now, I understand that the whole study of proxemics involves really all of our senses, sight, sound, olfaction, and touch. But are there conditions in an exhibit hall where some of these factors are more critical than others?
I think that in most situations, particularly in North America, that sight would be the primary factor. I think when people come up to an exhibit, they take it in visually. And they take in who's there at the exhibit, the people. People usually stand out first, but also the layout and, a sense of how they're going to navigate the display, any obstacles that might present themselves, and who, looking for who they might ask questions if they want, if they have questions they want to ask. But, in thinking of proxemics, they're also looking at the space and whether there's some open area or whether they're going to be constrained in the space. If they can be cornered by a sales rep might be a concern.
Sure.
Those kinds of things. And we calculate those things in our brains automatically and, faster than a computer could,
yeah.
I think.
It's amazing.
So it's all important.
Now, Reggie, question for you, or did you want to add something?
Well, I think that's interesting because as Dr. Warren was talking, I started to think I've been on both sides of that dynamic. I've walked a bunch of trade show floors.
Yeah.
But at the same times, I've manned a bunch of booths.
Right. So you got both sides.
And so when I'm walking the floor as a quote unquote consumer of the good, you're exactly right. I'm taking in kind of not just a booth, but multiple booths at a time.
Right.
I'm looking at how busy is the space.
Yes,
right. Is there a number of people that I might have quick access to if I'm truly interested in what's there?
What tchotchke can you get back to your
kids?
Yeah,
what's shiny, right? What can fit in the bag?
Exactly.
Right?
In and out.
And when you're on the other side, equally, I'm looking for who looks like, now, important phrase, right? Who looks like they might be a good candidate for what we do. And who knows, right?
Yes.
Some schmo could be walking out. He could be the perfect guy, but you could totally eliminate him because of his sneakers or something. But the whole idea of who looks like they might be, you know, the executive is very important when you're standing on the other side, when you're manning the booth. So to your point, it all becomes extremely kind of calculated in our minds before right. we even take an action.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Reggie, you frequently coach and advise clients how to deliver on message and connect with their clients in business engagement. So, like, thinking about proxemics and nonverbal communications, meta messages, and distancing, do you leverage certain skill sets that Professor Warren mentions to help close that gap and take business prospects to the next level of connection?
Sure, yeah. You know, the data shows that people retain about 7% of what they hear.
What was that?
About 7%.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So what we're saying is going to penetrate at a rate of about 7%, which means that the other 93% is associated with how you say it. Did you get really angry when you said it? You know, because that's going to affect how people feel,
right?
Yeah,
right. With what you said. But then there's another portion that is associated with what you show.
Right.
Right. So how you make them feel and what you show them become very important. Right. So when we start thinking about a trade show floor as an example, part of the show is in fact a booth. Part of the show is things like collateral, perhaps your screens and the things that are scrolling across it. Is it scrolling too fast or too slow, right? And so what is it that people can take in from a sight perspective? And then, obviously, when you start thinking about things like personal space and social spacing, all that sort of thing, is this person getting too close to me to feel comfortable? Are they too far away from me so they don't feel trustworthy? All those sorts of things factor in terms of whether I receive or completely reject your message.
So we typically focus on distance regulation as a highly saleable aspect of proxemics. The most commonly referred example compares Western cultural perspective and preference for 18 to 48 inches of space when having a conversation against the Arabic preference of closer proximity. Dr. Warren, can you elaborate why this is and what's going on here?
Well, it's a very interesting issue. There are a lot of theories about why you have differences in personal space that people are comfortable with, but I don't think anyone has really come up with the definitive answer at this point. And we do talk about the Arab culture as having very close personal spaces. It's sort of
quite
what's
a bit
referred
in
to,
proxemics,
right?
Yeah.
And there, you know, there is a lot written. Hall wrote a lot in his Hidden Dimension book that kind of started the whole study of proxemics. But there are other parts of the world that also favor closer space, whereas North America, Northern Europe, and many Asian countries as well, do prefer a larger personal space. So you kind of have a mix, and I don't think religion or climate can completely explain, why these things are.
So beyond distance regulation, what other major aspects would you say play into proxemics that we haven't talked about?
Well, the distance is really the big one that Hall really, set out, and it's been followed ever since. I think just in a general sense of talking about designing a space, what you don't want to do is make your space like an elevator where people get in there and they feel crowded
All right. So on that note, imagine a group of strangers in an elevator. How would you compare their interactions? First, standing as a group alongside a trade show aisle or in front of a booth, and then next as a group, you know, in an elevator going up to the ninth floor. Like, what are the differences of dynamics we would see?
Well, the dynamics again come back to the idea that when you're on that elevator, you're in a smaller space than you're accustomed to being in with people you don't know. And there's no way out except when you get to your floor, or if you panic and
the
run
little
out
hatch
sooner,
above you.
Right? You know, even if you push the stuff, the elevator panic button, that's not gonna solve your problem. So people, on the average, tend to pull into their own space tightly. And at a trade show where a number of people are kind of looking in from the aisle, I think there people have the idea that even though they might be standing close together, if they should start to feel uncomfortable, they just step out of that group. And I think just being able to expand your space and remove yourself from the space if you get to feel uncomfortable is the difference there.
Well, it's funny, with an elevator, it seems like the only time, because it is such an intimate space that you're sharing, it's like, you know, you're in a commode,
right,
with five people waiting to go up or down.
Right.
The only time you ever really do interact is if something happens that's,
yes,
you know, the elevator breaks,
right,
and then you're stuck, and then you acknowledge that, oh, we're five people in an elevator and we're stuck, you know?
Right.
So I wonder if there's something magic about the number, because I'm listening to the conversation here, and typically if I'm on an elevator, if I'm already there and someone steps on and it's just that person and myself,
yeah,
I'll commonly
nod, or
say
right,
hello,
yeah, yeah,
or nice weather, or something along those lines,
yeah,
just I'm one of those people who tries to make others feel comfortable,
right,
so, you know, I'll strike that up. But to your point, if there are maybe four of us already on and the fifth,
right,
person gets on, yeah, we might carve out our own space.
So right.
I just wonder if there's something in terms of the volume.
Professor Warren, yeah, this is the, yeah, next,
yes,
experiment for you.
now,
no, I think there definitely is. The larger the group, one person's entering, you become part of this group of four people on the elevator. It would be very non-conforming of you to be like the official welcomer for the group already,
right,
on the elevator.
Well, this is fascinating stuff, and I encourage all of our listeners to take note of cultural and situational and spatial relationship issues when you can. You guys, thank you for coming in. Professor Warren, Reggie, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
And joining us today. That was Professor Warren from the Illinois Institute of Art and Reggie Townsend from Knowledge Advantage, who joined us in studio, both of them a good 18 inches away from my face, except when we rode in the elevator. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Join us next time when we're all ears for audio technology and strategy and making your exhibit more conducive to brand building and telling your story. For a complete recording of today's podcast, equivalent dives, and other engaging episodes, as well as extras, go to iTunes or listen online at www.echelondesigninc.com. Until next time, thanks for joining.